You're too damn white, guys.
Welcome back to another Too Damn White Guys. I'm Julian Smith.
I'm Andrew Rader.
And we're here today talking about everyone's favorite, most taboo subject, pornography. It's kind of a secretive subject, pornography. Yeah. It's kind
of secretive. Almost everyone has some kind of thoughts on it or relationship with it, or actually almost all guys have looked at it for sure. Yep. Most people probably. So, yeah.
Yep.
And, very universal subject, but kind of taboo.
Right. And we've been consuming pornography since the beginning of time, pretty much, which we'll establish later on. So, you know.
Actually, the first figurines that we've ever found, the first human objects, were little fertility gods, basically, right, which is essentially like porn.
We probably had a little bit too much fun researching pornography. I'm sure both of our browsing history right now is just hilarious because we've been literally, I guess you could literally say we've been looking at porn, but not consuming it.
We've definitely contributed to the porn-related content on the internet.
Yeah.
Andrew tells Julian the news.
Now, we've got a little bit of a different format for you today on the news. We thought, in light of the BuzzFeed controversy that recently happened with the false allegations that Trump had told his lawyer to lie on his behalf about his relations with Russia and all that stuff, we just thought it would be funny to compile a list of Trump's biggest lies. And this isn't necessarily to make fun of Trump specifically. Well, it is a little bit, I guess. But it's also, you know, there have been tons of presidents over history who've lied. It's not just Trump. I mean, like Andrew Johnson was a big liar. Richard Nixon was a big liar. Bill Clinton was a big liar. Even Honest Abe was a pretty big liar. So it's, I think it kind of comes with the territory, which is why a lot of people hate politicians to begin with. But we've got a big fun list full of untrue things that Trump has said for those interested. So Andrew, why don't you take it away with number one?
All right. Number one, he recently said that troops have received one of the biggest pay raises ever, and it was the first pay raise in 10 years.
So how much did he say that their pay was increased, or did he not say?
Oh, he just said it was the biggest pay raise ever. Anytime you make a claim like the biggest ever, it's probably not true. And by the way, so we're just talking about the pants on fire Trump lies. So obviously there's different gradients of lies in any fact. This is actually when Julian says things, I have to kind of evaluate how true is that? Because most things are a spectrum between true and false. So these are just things that are downright what they call pants on fire false.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, and it also should be said that there are a lot of things about Trump that people say that are also false. So not only is he probably the greatest presidential liar in history, he's also probably the person, maybe the president, that the most lies are told about.
Which brings us to number two. Trump claimed, we've signed more bills, and I'm talking about through the legislature, than any president ever, which is a massive misstatement.
Patently false. Yeah, definitely. Very, very little has actually gone through. The tax plan has been the big legislative change.
By his 178th day in office, he had signed 42 bills into law, which isn't unimpressive, but it's definitely like not even close to like top performance by presidents.
All right. This one's kind of funny. If you buy, you know, a box of cereal, if you do anything, you have a voter ID.
Wait.
The only
Trump
thing you don't
this?
Do is if you're a voter in the United States. So he's basically saying you have to show ID to buy a box of cereal.
Why does he want people to show ID?
No, he's using it as an excuse for why it's reasonable to ask for ID for
voters. Well, maybe
this
he
is
meant
tied
like,
to one of the big things of him claiming that tons of illegal immigrants vote, basically.
Right. Maybe he meant like when you have to show your ID for your credit card authorization or something. I don't know.
I think
but
it's
that's
just
not tied
something
to cereal.
Random he said.
It's not tied to cereal.
I mean, I just don't think he thought about it. He just spouted it out without thinking.
This is a quote from Trump. In addition to winning the Electoral College in a landslide, I won the popular vote if you deduct the millions of people who voted illegally. And this was totally incorrect because, first of all, there's no evidence that there were millions of people who voted illegally. The only evidence that is out there is a quote from Alex Jones of InfoWars, which is like not, you know,
reliable
like
source.
So the fact that Trump is basing this statement on Alex Jones of InfoWars, like he must watch InfoWars.
So Democrats want to give undocumented immigrants cars, and the Democrats are supporting the animals of MS-13, which is a gang, I guess. So, I mean, he basically just always accuses the Democrats of supporting illegal immigrants and also dangerous Latin American gangs.
Yeah, that is a recurring theme, just throwing things on the Democrats.
I mean, to be fair, I guess what he's saying is their policies encourage that kind of thing, which I don't know if that's true or not. Maybe he has some kernel of truth, but anyway, the whole claim is ridiculous.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy. The wall in Israel is 99.9% effective. This is a quote from Trump. First of all, he was using that to justify the wall he wants to build here in America, but the wall in Israel is only one-tenth of it is 25 feet high. The rest of it is 6 feet high and is like a huge leaking point for criminal activity, drug smuggling. The New York Times reported in 2016 that most of the crime that is coming into Israel is coming through these weak points in the wall. So, you know, the wall in Israel is nowhere close to even 99 or probably even 50% effective.
The ice caps were going to melt. They were going to be gone by now, but now they're setting records. So, okay, they're at a record level. Meaning saying that the ice caps, I guess in Antarctica and in the North Pole, the sea ice, are at record levels, and that's true. They are at record levels. They're
I was about to say, this actually sounds true.
But I don't think that's what he meant.
Yeah, oh, I see what happened there. Yeah. He was trying to claim the opposite. He was a little vague in his terminology. I couldn't tell
that's
what
true.
He was
saying. That's true. I guess you could call this true.
We're going to give Trump 50% on this one again.
It's the opposite of what he meant.
That's actually, I guess, if Trump would just be a little less specific with his lies, he might be able to get away with more.
Well, actually, that's one of the things he does, is he tends to talk in very vague terms, so it's hard to pin down exactly what he means, because I don't think he really knows what
he means. I think he's shooting from the hip, and I think he's pretty good at shooting from the hip.
He's definitely just shooting from the hip, yeah.
U.S. officials have blocked nearly 4,000 known or suspected terrorists from entering the country. This was in relation to, he was talking about people coming in to the country by land or sea. But actually, the vast majority of terrorism that comes into America is by air. In 2017, 2,170 suspected terrorists or known terrorists came in by air. Only 335 came by land and 49 came by sea. So this wall is a statistical, it's not that it's like, I wouldn't even say it's like a terrible idea. I would just say that if you're looking at it by the numbers of suspects coming in to the country by air versus land or sea, it's like not the best use of all this money to put up a wall. Like, we should just tighten up our air security is the first thing we should do.
Yeah, related to that, terrorism and terrorist attacks in the United States and Europe have gotten to a point where they're not even being reported. So they're so bad they're not even being reported, which is completely false, because that if there is one, that's like the main thing on the news alert. And everyone's actually way too worked up about the terrorist attacks that do happen. We were talking about this. People are afraid of the wrong things. This is a constant theme here. But basically, your chance of getting killed by a terrorist is less than your chance of dying falling downstairs. And it's absolutely dwarfed. It's this tiny fraction of like car crashes or anything like that. I mean, terrorists are not very dangerous, with the exception of possible nuclear terrorism or something like that. But obviously, that hasn't happened. People die from so many things that are not
donuts.
Terrorism.
It's still my favorite comparison.
Probably millions of times more dangerous than terrorists.
But they're so good and tasty and delicious. I can't stay away from the donuts.
Very related to the terrorism thing is just this inner city crime is reaching record levels. So basically a lot of what he says is trying to convince people that things are bad. Things are worse. America's going off in the wrong direction. Crime is at all time highs. Terrorism is a real threat. All these things, which are patently false, and crime is at a lower level than it ever has been. Terrorism is not really much of a threat to the average person living in the United States. So all these things that people disproportionately get afraid of, I think that's a lot of what motivates his thinking and his base and things like that. But that's just really not true.
Yeah, you know, now that I'm thinking about it, a lot of the things on this list were kind of fear-mongering.
Oh,
tactics.
It's all fear-based. All of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's crazy. All right. So with Trump out of the way, with the news out of the way, let's jump into a bunch of funny porn facts you probably never knew.
That's kind of a departure.
And some that are not so funny. So porn has been around for, you know, a long time. It's been around. We've basically been interested in each other's naked bodies since before humans were even here. That's why I guess animals have sex, too. I don't know. I don't know that animals probably would look at porn if they had the means, but
they
don't.
Oh, monkeys do, I think. I think they maybe have done studies. Yes, they do.
Monkeys look at porn? In fact,
yeah. They did this study where they had monkeys looking at each other's butts, and I think they preferred that to prune juice or something like that. Yeah, there was a study where they could have prune juice or look at a picture of each other's butts, and they preferred the butts.
That is hilarious. That's a bonus porn fact that you didn't know you were going to get. Yeah. That's amazing.
Monkey porn.
Yeah, so it should be no surprise that there is a bunch of funny facts out there about porn, and we're about to give you a bunch of funny ones here. The purpose of this list is to educate you a little bit, also to loosen up everybody's perceptions, get people talking about porn, I guess, because I think the world would be a better place if we could talk about things like porn in a more open setting. So that's what we're trying to do here. One of the earliest depictions of pornography that we've discovered dates back to 5200 BCE. It was a statue of a man and a woman having sex. It was made by German hunter-gatherers.
The Germans,
those perverts.
They're number two porn industry.
Yep.
The United States.
Only second to us. Archaeologists discovered this statue in 2005. So it's a pretty recent discovery, but it's very, very old. And, you know, this is not the earliest. It's probably not fair to call it the earliest depiction of pornography because there were plenty of paintings and cave inscriptions that, you know, people were obviously having fun with that date back to as far as like 25,000 years ago. So it's not the oldest, but it's like the oldest work, I guess you could say, the oldest work of art. So
porn in America is, if you just count the films, $11 billion industry. But if you count everything related to it, strip clubs and phone sex and other things like that, it is one of the largest industries, actually, and they make more money than the NFL, the NBA, Major League Baseball, or any of the major news networks like NBC, CBS, ABC. So porn is a huge industry in the United States, and we spend more on porn by far, if you include those extras, than space exploration. So we spend much more money on porn than, unfortunately, on NASA, for example.
Wow. That is crazy. And that's probably worldwide. It's probably not fair to limit that to America, right?
That is in America. I don't have stats worldwide. I think that's probably true worldwide, but we're also comparing it to American consumption. So it's fair.
That's true. Yeah. Good point. Okay. So men have always compared the sizes of their dicks. This is not a new thing, but thousands of years ago, it was actually manlier to have smaller equipment. Bigger was not better. Ancient Roman paintings often depicted men with massively large genitalia for satirical comedic effect, like to make fun of a politician or something like that. They'd draw him with a huge penis. So size, I guess, does matter. But it's all subjective.
It is subjective. They used to also in play, Roman plays, have big phalluses hanging and stuff like fruits, like cucumbers or something like that.
Yeah. There's a new PETA commercial showing men with cucumbers strapped to their...
Yeah, but that's like a Roman theater thing.
Yeah, I love that. It's so funny. Mm-hmm. We're going to take a quick break, but don't go anywhere. We're coming right back. I promise.
Consumption of pornography, it varies obviously by state, and the highest level area right now per capita is Washington, D.C., actually. So maybe it's the politicians.
I heard it was
Trump
Utah.
Or something like that. That's actually a myth. People did think it was Utah, but I think that's not actually true.
Okay.
And people have also compared how long people look at porn. So on average, how long they watch a particular video or something like that. And the South, like Mississippi, Alabama, Arkansas, win that by far, which I don't know if that's a compliment or not because they're watching it for longer, theoretically lasting longer.
Well, lower cost of living in those states, so they have more time to consume porn.
Because
they're not working as much.
But what does it mean if they're watching the video for less time or more time?
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, maybe, yeah, ooh. Yeah, maybe
it seems kind of like a compliment if they're watching it for longer, right?
Well, yeah, maybe. I guess if the longer you watch it, the longer you have to watch it because you're building up your resistance and your maybe that's what it is. I don't know. Because this is actually linked to another fact, which is that, and this is not a funny one. This is one of the sad ones, but it's educational. This is all kind of enlightening. Bad porn habits are linked to erectile dysfunction, reduced libido, and trouble reaching orgasm. So to relate this directly to pornography probably isn't totally fair, because I guess you could assume that if you're just having tons of sex, the same thing would apply. It's probably about like how often you're getting off or something. I don't know. But it's because porn is so accessible and so many people view it because it's accessible, it's mainly linked to pornography. But yeah, if you have a bad porn habit, you will have a hard time getting it up. I don't know what that necessarily means for women. Probably just that they would want it less or something.
30 million people are watching porn at any one time. So there's probably 30 million people watching it right now.
That's a lot of people.
That's a lot of people.
30 million people.
Yep.
35% of all internet traffic is pornography. And so many, there's actually been many very smart people who've said that pornography was responsible for the internet because it was one of the first marketplaces on the internet. One of the first things you could actually spend money on. And it arguably has made a fair amount of the internet possible from a monetary standpoint.
Yeah. In North Korea, the punishment for viewing porn is death.
I heard this. I cannot believe this. This is insane.
Mind you, the punishment for most things in North Korea is probably death. So I'm not sure if this is a really valid fact. You probably get the death penalty for buying the wrong kind of radish.
This kind of ties into our last episode of equality versus freedom. It's like, you know, they have no freedom to watch porn, but they are all much more equal for it. Conservatives consume more porn than liberals. This is apparently a fact according to statistics involving credit card receipts. It's basically like people paying for porn. So I don't know if that goes for people watching free porn, but states where a majority of residents agreed with the statement, I have old-fashioned values about family and marriage, those states bought 3.6 more subscriptions per 1,000 people than states where a majority disagreed. So there's a strong suggestion here that depending on your how opposed you are to porn publicly, you actually consume more of it. And this lined up with a Harvard study that Harvard did a study on this as well, and it lined up with their findings exactly. So it's very interesting. It's very interesting.
Yeah, I think that's almost certainly true. People who, you know, aren't able to talk about it openly, if sex is a more repressed concept, they're kind of more probably attracted to it secretly. And I think that's almost certainly true. There's also, for example, syphilis was introduced to Europe in the 1490s and spread throughout Europe within a couple of decades. And this is at a time when Europe was a very sexually repressed place, more so than any place on earth today, almost, except for maybe the Middle East. And you know, people who were theoretically monogamous and marriages who the church told them they couldn't go and have sex with people. How does a sexually transmitted disease spread through all of Europe in a matter of decades? Because the public image of what's happening is not what's really happening.
Wow.
So it gives you kind of insight into the private lives of Europeans in this sexually repressed time.
60% of women admit to consuming porn at least a few times per month. That number is 79% for men. So it's not that, it's not as big of a difference as you would think. And 13% of these women are watching it while at work, whereas 20% of men are watching it at work.
Yeah, that's bold. Related to that, some guy at the University of Montreal tried to find men in their 20s who had not consumed porn and was unable to find anyone.
That was in Montreal?
Yeah.
They're very honest in Montreal.
Yeah, they're pretty open about it. I think that's not a reflection of porn consumption, but openness to it. Yeah, exactly.
On February 1st, 2009, Comcast Cable accidentally aired 30 seconds of porn on the Super Bowl 43. I don't know how I missed this until I was researching for this episode. That's how I found this out. I've not seen what was aired. I don't know what was aired, but apparently this happened. Big mistake, Comcast. Big mistake.
Was it the hardcore part, or was it just where the pizza guy was showing up?
That's a good question. I guess that would, but I'm gonna guess since they said 30 seconds of porn, that it's probably not the pizza guy.
Not the pizza guy just making probably not introduction.
Yeah, I feel like that would have flown by unnoticed.
And most teenagers use porn to learn about sex. It's kind of sad
because obviously
porn is discussed a lot as maybe not teaching real sex, like not representing it very well, giving creating unfair expectations,
right,
these kinds of things. And we can talk about some of these potential issues with it and some of the trade-offs here.
Yeah, we'll I think we should get to that, because I think that that is very true. The biggest problem with these kids today having so much access to porn is the expectation, I'd say. And then I feel like a lot of kids probably think that their sex life is going to be just like it is shown to them on porn. But that is actually, there was a, I don't have the fact in front of me, but there was a fact that I read through when I was researching this that said that the expectation towards porn, or the perception of porn from younger people as opposed to older people, is very, very different. It's like reversed. So like older people looking at porn have a context for it, and younger people don't, which is kind of dangerous. The most popular porn search term in Finland is mature, followed by granny.
Wow. That is very opposite of most of the rest of the world, which it's teen actually is the most popular porn-related search term.
Right. Well, they got a lot of stuff figured out in Finland. So I'm kind of perplexed by this one. Maybe they seem to like living in cold weather, and they seem to like having sex with old wrinkly people. They like all kinds of weird stuff in Finland.
Well, they're also much more open about it, about nudity. In Finland, a lot of the time they'll take the whole family to the sauna and they'll all just strip naked and sit in front of each other naked. So I think they actually probably have a really healthy relationship with nudity.
I would probably agree with that. I think I'd agree with you there.
So after presidential elections, the people who voted for the winner tend to watch more pornography for a while.
You just took my last one. I was going to do that one. It was serendipitous. It was meant to be. Yeah, this is hilarious.
Yeah.
It actually, I heard that it spikes.
Maybe it's the euphoria after, or something like that.
Right.
Yeah, we won.
Yeah, somebody actually, there was a study. Yeah, that's actually what
said. Like when your sports team wins or something, it does definitely boost the testosterone in the fans as well as the players. So maybe this encourages porn. You would think that porn is also associated with testosterone. So there is probably a good reason for this.
So that concludes our list of goofy porn facts. Hope you enjoyed it. I think it would be nice to unpack some of these a little more from like a critical standpoint and talk about the implications of porn on a societal level and a personal level. And we can talk about some of the, not pros and cons necessarily, but just some of the byproducts of porn consumption.
Yeah, sure. I mean, obviously, I think that if people are doing, as long as there's consent, as long as people are have a free choice to do things, there's really nothing wrong with almost anything they do as long as it doesn't infringe on the rights of others. So I have no problem with people being involved in pornography. But that doesn't mean that necessarily it's never exploitative or that there aren't necessarily problems in the industry, stuff like that. There obviously how it's handled varies from place to place, and certain places have really well-regulated, well-established industries like the Netherlands, not only in porn, but they even have like legal prostitution, and it's a very, very well-regulated industry. There's like a museum you can go to and see about how they work it and stuff, and their workers are really well-treated, and there's like a lot of mandated testing.
They get lots of sex.
Yeah, but I don't think it's about that for them. It's kind of like
I'm
a job,
joking.
Basically.
Jokes.
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously, porn can vary from a well-regulated, well-established place where people can be pretty happy to really abusive and sex trafficking and things like that. So it's a whole gamut from probably a relatively benign or even maybe a slight positive influence of society to really the dregs of society. So, so as long as we approach it the right way, and I think it's kind of important to have it out in the open. I went a couple times to this Hump Festival, which is by Dan Savage. Do you know Dan Savage?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a podcaster and he has a show about sex, basically. And he runs this festival where people send in videos of themselves having sex, and they control it so it doesn't really get out very well. And it's very sex positive, and it's intended to show kind of real
positive
porn, I guess. Huh. It's not, you know, it's all kinds of body shapes. It's all kinds of different sexual orientations. And it's kind of a really, and when you watch it, you're watching it in a theater full of people. And no one's really kind of, it's not like porn you would masturbate to, I don't think. You know, I mean, maybe you get a little bit attracted sometimes like that, but it's totally different from any other porn experience that
they're watching it like art or something?
Yeah, it's pretty much like art. And everyone has like an experience like, wow, you're watching sometimes, honestly, the raunchiest things you can imagine, but mm-hmm. it's just presented in a totally different way and they call it sex positive. And I think it's really interesting. I'd recommend if anyone has a chance to go to something like that, you should. Because
I've never been to something like that.
Closer to how we should view pornography.
Well, I think that's how, you know, the very first fact we led with was how, you know, the earliest depiction of sex made by hunter-gatherers, that statue. Yeah, for them to have made a statue, you know, is kind of, it seems like a similar mindset. It's like, it wasn't a shameful thing. Mm-hmm. It wasn't done in secrecy. It was a freaking statue that they made. So it must have, in other cultures, I think this is probably an American thing that, you know, I think it's probably hard for Americans to understand that, like this sex positive thing I've never heard, but it seems very like non-American. It seems like it would probably fit.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely non-Middle Eastern too. I think religion is a big factor in a lot of repression of sex, Muslim, Christian, lots of other ones as well, probably, just in general, because they're trying to create, I guess, social cohesion or something like that. Mm-hmm. So it's suppression of these kinds of things. There is also female porn. That was actually one of the top searched terms, because most of the porn industry is definitely for male consumption. About 90% or something is geared towards men. Right. And but there are, I saw on the news, maybe even like PBS or something like that, a special on female porn. And as you would expect, it's somewhat different. It's definitely less focused on just like the orgasm and the man getting off and things like that. It tends to be more about the stories, as they say, right. Playboy. But I think that's true. And it just kind of appeals to more of what like women are enticed by, right? Which mm-hmm. is different than, like, men are very visually stimulated. They can look at a picture and get aroused, but a woman, it's usually not visual at all.
Right.
So, yeah.
That's or probably the testosterone.
Or that's a supplement, I think.
Mm-hmm. You implied earlier that that porn is kind of a slippery slope, and I think it is. I think anything that creates a dopamine response is potentially a slippery slope, because, you know, your dopamine is like the reward. It's like your brain's natural reward system. So if you're initiating that reward system intentionally, I think it's a slippery slope, no matter if it's porn or too much sugar or too much alcohol or too much anything. It's not just porn by itself.
Yeah, it's definitely possible to have an unhealthy addiction to porn, and this can create lots of problems in your life, problems with your relationship and things like that as well. But, you know, I think that just the idea of porn in general is not necessarily unhealthy. It's just a matter of how you look at it and how it's presented and things like that and how you react to it.
Right. Also, countries with the easiest access to hardcore porn have the lowest sex crime rates in the world.
Yeah, that's not surprising.
Which is a fact that we missed earlier. Yeah. I should have gone over that one, but I think it's more appropriate here anyway.
I mean, when you try to control something that's a fundamental part of human nature, you try to repress something, you're going to have problems. It's going to leak out of the seams. The more you squeeze down, the more it's going
to
come out.
Did you have to say leak out of the seams and squeeze down?
Yes, I did.
Context, Andrew, context.
Yeah, it's just going to squeeze out, spurt out. You know? The more you squeeze, the more it spurts out.
It's getting worse. So thank you so much for listening. This has been a lot about porn, and I want to encourage everybody to share your thoughts in the comments. If you have any thoughts about what we said, the hope here is that we'll create some conversation. So just unfiltered, tell us what you're thinking. I think that is how we create a healthy conversation around topics like this. Just get it out there all in the open. We're going to be pornographic with our opinions, I guess is the best way to say that. So without further ado, we should wrap this up. If you want to follow us on Twitter, you can do that. I'm at Julian Was Here. Andrew is at Mars Raider. Please consider reviewing us on Apple Podcasts. That is super helpful. We love you for it. You guys are awesome. And we do these every Monday. We're looking forward to next week already. And if you have episode ideas, we will be looking for those in the comments as well. And tell your friends to watch some porn.
No, to watch podcasts.
No, that's not what I meant. That's not what I meant. Yeah, the podcast.
They can do both.
I'm messing with everybody right now.